Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Hope Girls, a Danganronpa podcast. Today, we are super excited because this is going to be a wild ride. We are diving into Chapter 5 of V3, which there is a lot to talk about and unpack here. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Just a heads up that this episode is going to spoil.
Chapter 5, V3.
Without further ado, I'm Maddie.
Marin.
And I'm Caroline.
And we're the Ultra Hope Girls.
Welcome to the Danganronpa Podcast.
You're on the threshold of an amazing episode. Showtime.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Oh boy. I was looking forward to replaying this one because I always like forget the intricacies of this chapter, like what exactly goes down between Kokichi and Kaito and all of that stuff. So I was really excited to go back to this one, and it was worth it because it is a little wild.
Wild indeed.
Was a lot wild.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely rivals chapter 5 of game 2 in a lot of ways, I think too. Yeah.
It's a lot shorter of a chapter than I remember. Like I was playing it and suddenly I was like the body was there and then the investigation was over and I was like most of this chapter felt like the trial itself,
Yes,
which
definitely. The
is
trial, I
different,
feel like, is longer than usual, but the rest of the chapter went by pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think that's true. 'Cause also a lot of it is just like it's like we're also investigating during the trial in a way, you know what I mean? Like,
True.
yeah, so it's like I guess verbal investigation slash repartee with the exosol person.
Yeah.
Oh my
The
god.
excess all person. Very
Yeah,
true.
so we start off this chapter with that image of Monokuma, who has sort of an existential crisis over all his dead children. And he says, "What is an irreplaceable life anyway?" And I was like, "Oh my God." I was like, "Okay, Monokuma, we're really starting off strong here."
Yeah, and then like
Yeah.
5 seconds later, he forgets them.
Right, exactly. And that's like the beauty of Monokuma. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
and then he eventually does replace them.
Yes, which is like the recycling. Like, there's a lot of themes of like recycling, like people are disposable, like that sort of thing, ironically. And I'm like, there's only five people left, or are there? Because there's sort of this implication of like there has to be someone watching because otherwise, like, Monokuma wouldn't play by the rules, which is so like Kokichi is so smart for that. Like, it's because it's true. Like, that's like the only thing keeping Monokuma accountable in theory.
Like Kokichi is a little like detective of his own, I think. He is making some really astute deductions that seem like they check out. I mean, obviously we'll learn more later, but he really is catching on to things that others are not.
I think everyone in this game is playing like 2D checkers, and Kokichi is out here playing like 4D chess.
It's so true.
He is not only thinking about this one case at this one time, but he is trying to literally end the game by beating the mastermind. He's
Right.
like declared himself above this low level, I murder you, I get away with it. He's trying to confuse the person who started it. And like I respect Kokichi in this chapter so much. Do I agree with the choices he's making? Not all of them, but I do think it's like amazing that he is he I mean he in the entire Danganronpa series came the closest to usurping the mastermind, other than groups of people. I like alone, I think he is the person who came the closest to knocking Monokuma off his throne. And I think that's wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there is no one like him. in any of these games. Like, I think we've talked about, like, specifically in our tier list episode, I feel like, you know, all of us had Kokichi in our S tier. And I think a big reason why that is because he is one of the only characters in this game where we haven't seen someone who sort of matches that blueprint in other games in a way. Like, not all of them, obviously, but, like, you know, Maddie brought up that, like, Pekko and Maki share a lot of similar traits. And, you know, there's aspects of other characters that we've sort of seen, but Kokichi is, like, pretty much unique. I mean, there's, like, very little he has in common with other characters, and so I think that's really admirable. And I have to say, also, in line with sort of that appreciation for Kokichi, I think this chapter also made me appreciate Kaito way more than I have in the past. Oh my gosh. Like, one of my first notes from this chapter is, like, how Kaito is bouncing back and staying so positive, like, despite his illness. And I think he, like, knows his end is coming, but even though he knows his end is coming, he's like, I want to try to at least fight Monokuma while I'm still here. I want to be here for my friends, and, you know, all that. And I just think that is so admirable. And like, ironically, then what helps Shuichi kind of solve the murder is understanding who Kaito is deeply in his heart, which is what Kaito has been trying to teach Shuichi all along. And it's just, like, this beautiful, yeah. Like, anyway, I really appreciate Kaito a lot more than I did in the first playthrough, I gotta say.
Oh, I love him. I've always loved him.
Space boy! I love
him even more. Chronologically, my first note is just a quote towards the beginning of the chapter that I found amusing when Himiko is talking, I think she's talking to Kaito, and she says, "You're such an optometrist. Can you prescribe some rose-colored glasses for me too?" And I was like, that's so funny. And then Tsumugi was like, "I think you mean optimist." I'm like, no, she didn't. She just made a pun about prescribing glasses.
Right, rose-colored glasses. It's so, I love that line. There's also this deep terror of Kokichi. Everyone is so afraid in the beginning of this chapter of Kokichi. They're like, does anyone know where he is? Where is this guy? And he's so little he can hide anywhere, you know. But there is deep fear of him. Yeah. And I think it's this fear of, like, him not being able to be controlled, you know, mm-hmm. in a way. Ugh. Yeah.
What's interesting about that fear is Kaito's the one who is telling them, you know, like, calm down, forget about him, over and over. And it just really made me wonder when this plan started between Kaito and Kokichi. And I know in the trial it's kind of established that, like, they got into this conflict and arrows were shot, and then at that point Kokichi was like, hey, like, we should try and kill me, basically. That was the theme in summary. But I don't know, I just, it's hard for me not to trust Kaito when he says that was the timeline, because he rarely seems to lie about stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
But he was so not worried at the beginning that it just made me question it a little bit.
Yes, that, and Kokichi literally wrote, like, an entire book worth of, like, script for Kaito.
For Kaito, for this trial. That.
Like, and I just am like, where did he find the time to do that? Like, I also don't really think that, like, I don't think that Kaito was going along with something way earlier than that scene, but I do think that Kokichi may have had stuff in his mind, like, way in advance.
Yes.
Like, he may have even found a way to, like, predict or manipulate what Maki was gonna do, and, like, everything in that scenario. I just think he was thinking so far ahead.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
It's,
oh my god,
4D chess right there.
It's right. It's 4D chess. It's like, it's beyond even four dimensions. It's like Tesseract chess.
Right.
Like, infinite dimensions.
That's so good. No, but it is so true. Title. But the other thing is, I think Kokichi always knew that it was going to be Kaito, right? I think he always knew it was going to be him,
yeah,
at least to a certain point, because he knows when people are lying. So he knew Kaito was lying about the severity of his illness.
Yep.
And he knew that if he were to corner him, like, he's the one who uses the Exasol to kidnap Kaito. I think he did that with this plan already in place. Like, I think he knew every step. I mean, he is pure chaos, but he also is, like, he's very good at planning his chaos, like, ahead of time, and he thinks all his things through. Like, there's no way he could have gotten away with this if he wasn't like a I'm really into Criminal Minds right now. They always say that the killers are like very methodical, or they are very organized. Yes, and he is very organized, even though he's not a killer, obviously.
Yeah, he's planned everything. I think honestly the chaos is a front, you know. I don't think there's anything about him that's truly chaotic, other than just that others can't predict what he's going to do, but he knows in his mind what, like, he's not like, he's a planner. I really think
he's a planner. He's a J.
He has got a bullet journal, and we all know it.
And we all know.
Yes.
And we all know his August theme is Folklore by Taylor Swift, because August slipped away like a bottle of wine.
August slipped away like a bottle of wine. We get a lost real key and I can't speak or type, apparently. We got a last real key and a real last key, which was very interesting because it kind of implies that the real last key is fake because it's not a real key. The other key was the real key, but this is a real last key. So there are more keys to come?
Well, we'll have to just find out. Just, you know.
It's always interesting to think about the syntax of the English language there and which adjective is more important, because generally I think we go with the last adjective is the most important. So like the last real key is a real key, but it might not actually be the last key. The real last key might not actually be real, but it is the last key.
Right. I know. My God.
Like, Maddie is a hot, sexy lady.
Oh, thank you.
But is she a sexy, hot lady?
Yes, no. She is.
Oh, thank you.
Maddie, no. So we find Kaito's lab, which is spaceship Armageddon. JK, I don't really know.
Why is it behind Kokichi's door?
I think that this is just a way to, like, kind of mess with us, I think, honestly. Yeah, that's just my theory on it. Do you all have any opinions on it?
I hadn't really thought of that because, yeah, I don't know. I think just there's a lot in this school that's not as it seems, and it's just kind of a way to subvert your, like, expectations, I think. So I kind of agree with that. Yeah, I don't know.
The only thing I could think of, because we haven't found Kokichi's lab yet, like his personal lab, but this is Kaito's lab, and it's up 6 flights of stairs, which is really cruel to someone who's very sick. And so my thought was maybe that staircase was just
oh my god, the staircase up to Kaito's lab is Kokichi's lab. This is what I think as well now.
That is canon now.
Yeah, no, that is definitely canon. Absolutely.
That's just because, like, it's like Kokichi just, like, built the staircase. It, like, originally was like one story, and Kokichi just kept adding stairs in the middle and, like, making it taller taller just to mess with Kaito.
Another one.
I'm kind of honestly bummed that we didn't spend more time in Kaito's research lab. We literally get, like, the one little kind of in and out, and then we find the writings on the Gopher Project. Maki brings up the idea that it sounds like Noah's Ark, which was also my theory at this point, along with Marin, that they were, like, being sent into space to, like, colonize another planet. But I really feel like there could have been so much more we could have found out in that research lab if people started, like, fiddling around with some of the equipment or, like, really digging for, like, I don't know. I feel like there could have been more there. We just kind of went in and out.
That's fair. Yeah, the Gopher as soon as I heard the words Gopher Project, I was like, Noah's Ark! Immediately, because I was like, I'm indoctrinated into that for my whole life. But it is interesting because that story is sort of a message of, like, weirdly enough, Noah's trust in God and God's promise to Noah that he will never wipe out humanity in this way again. And so it sort of, like, makes sense that there were protesters sort of saying, like, this is, you know, that we deserve this, Earth deserves this, because, you know, they I'm sure they've heard that Bible story before and have seen it before. And now they're saying like, oh, this is like, quote unquote, God's will, or like the will of the universe, so to speak. You know, that's what they were protesting. And it also kind of implies that the kids that they have gathered are like chosen by Hope's Peak, Makoto Naegi, I guess, is God in this scenario.
Yeah,
but
like,
anyway,
like a higher power, like
right, I know, but it does come with the promise of like, after, you know, Noah comes off the ark, that God won't ever do anything like that again. And it is interesting now that we're, I don't know, it's happening again in history, all of that stuff. But yeah, it's a very, yeah, Bible stuff, man.
It's yeah. also a way that from the Bible story, it's used to wipe out evil. It comes about because of a rise in evil, which I think is interesting with the story that we're getting from these flashback lights of, you know, like chaos is occurring in the world. And like, I mean, it's like very similar pathways. Like, I guess I'm just saying that it was a very accurate metaphor,
right?
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
wiping out the remnants of despair, right? It's like right. Wiping out,
cleansing and purifying right. the earth with, not with water, but with meteors and fire this time.
And one of the chosen was Kokichi Yoma and Kureki Yoshiguchi.
And
Himiko.
And Gonta!
Listen, if Gonta was one of the chosen, I would understand. He's just a little guy, you know?
He's just a little guy. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's a little guy.
He's just a little guy.
He's a little guy heart.
I saw someone commented on our Chapter 4 Part 1 video on Spotify, and they said Gonta deserved better. And yeah.
No,
he's
I
part
agree.
Of the 16.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've kind of changed my tune. I mean, obviously, I don't like, he's kind of annoying, but he didn't deserve what he got. Obviously, none of them really do. But
I
do want to say real quick before we get off of the Noah's Ark topic, the title of the chapter is Voyage Without Passion or Purpose, and I almost wonder if that is related to the Noah's Ark reference, because in Noah's Ark there is a passion and a purpose, debatably, if you know, want to take it that way, but in this chapter you could say that because of the ending, I don't know if this is jumping too far forward, but because Monokuma is not taken out at the end and the plot to foil him by, you know, not having an answer doesn't work out, then you could say that this voyage, this Noah's Ark throughout chapter 5 doesn't have a purpose. I don't know.
Right. And also, once the kids, or I should say students, I guess, once they like see the outside world and experience that, you know, Shuichi, I think like a whole 48 hours passes by without him even getting out of bed because he doesn't have a purpose and there's no passion for staying alive. And none of them have that. You know, there's even conversation about just like ending it, like at the dining hall, you know? And so there's just a lot of that.
Yeah, that was a rough scene.
Yeah, I know.
That was,
it was very sad.
I was going to say, like, in that scene, kind of, I guess, transferring into that, there is a lot of survivor's guilt in that scene.
Yes.
And I think from an outside perspective, it can look a little bit silly that they have this chance. They are the only people who are given the chance to live and are not necessarily wanting to take that opportunity. But I think that that kind of belittles the experience of survivor's guilt and just like the fact that all of that pressure of so many lives are on their shoulders. Like, I don't know. I just think it's important to remember that survivor's guilt is very real. And I don't know. I just can't imagine what kind of pressure that would be putting on these people's lives. Sad.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And like in a situation like that, even if you're given like the opportunity to live and survive, it's like if you're all of your family and friends, like all of your loved ones are gone, then it's like the meaning in your life without any of your friends or family or loved ones is much lacking. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're these 16, but they're not really 16, right? They're seven. And so
Right.
it could feel like a failure that they didn't even know they were failing at. Like, just,
Yeah.
oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking of too. Yeah. And one of them, it can't even reproduce.
Yeah.
Kibo.
Oh,
Little Keebs.
I forgot about that.
Who can't reproduce?
I
Which, speaking of Kibo, I do want to touch on the scene that we have in the Exasol room where he goes under the hydraulic press. He's literally like, let me see if I am a person, like if I am
Yep.
worth like this press stopping, crushing me, and it doesn't stop, which is so sad. It is so
It is.
sad.
I liked his little hot dog roll
I know that is a great
out from
animation
under there. That
moment.
was so funny. But yeah, like poor guy. I mean, like I wasn't expecting it to stop because like he is a robot. He's not
Right.
a living organism. So depending on what the sensor is detecting, like he's probably not going to fit that category. But he says things about like I think at one point he asks Shuichi to like test the electro hammer on him to see if Mew thought of him as human or not. And it's like so sad because like I mean we'll never know for sure how Mew saw him, but I think she definitely saw him as more than just a robot, like a piece of technology, you know. I think they had like a special bond.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think they definitely had a special bond. It's
But yeah, poor little Keebs.
so sad. And Shuichi, this is one of those scenes where I don't feel like he handles it very well. Not that he has to handle every scenario
He just
perfectly. I know
let
I
the
go back and
press keep
forth.
going.
He let it keep going, but not only that, I believe it's when the hammer discussion comes out, he describes testing it as a waste of the hammer's power. And I just feel like maybe Shuichi didn't consider that was really, in a way, calling Kibo a waste of time. Like the connection could be made there. And I was like,
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Shuichi, buddy, come on.
It kind of reminds me of like how, because okay, we could obviously get into the conversation of like, we talked about this so much in with Chiaki, how like if you are like replicating a personality through a computer, like is it that person or is it like a computer? You know, that whole debate of like, and I
Yeah.
won't get back into that. But weirdly enough, this doesn't quite remind me of that. That doesn't come to mind with Kibo. It almost reminds me more of like in Buffy with like the lore of like the vampires with souls, how like, you know, they're still the demon, but it's like there is like a soul. And that's kind of how I view Kibo in a way. It's like he is a robot, but he has a soul, whatever that means, you know, because he's not replicating a personality. He's just Kibo.
Right, he's
And I don't
sentient.
know. They somehow put a little soul in him. I want to believe that he is human in that way, you know, because he feels he has a consciousness, which then goes away by the end of the chapter. His conscience is like gone, which is so sad. It's like Pinocchio without his conscience. He just wants to be a real boy. Okay, what is he without his conscience? But anyway, yeah, it's like even hard to think of him as like a machine because he doesn't feel like one, you know. Weirdly, yeah.
Yeah, and it also brings up the question of, let's say he hadn't rolled out of the press, would Shuichi be the blackened? Like, because if he's not a
Yeah.
person, is it murder?
I mean, I think that I don't remember exactly, but I think at some point in like chapters one or two earlier on, Monokuma says something about like, yes, killing Kiba would also be considered
Right,
murder.
would be considered
Okay.
murder.
We have our answer. It's
Yeah,
because
because
he has a soul.
yeah, even if he's not
Yes.
human, he is one of the participants in the game.
Yes, right.
And so yeah, I think Shuichi would have been the blackened, and then he would have had to explain like, well, Kibo asked me to test this out and it didn't go well, and then trial ends and that's it. That would have been a very, very short chapter.
Right, it would just be that.
But right away at the Exasol hangar, we like I mean, we've been new. We know it's the next murder is going to take place there because there are rules and there's like the security and oh, it gets set off this way, but not this way. And then, you know, we have Chekhov's hydraulic press and everything.
Right.
But I don't know about y'all, but I was still shocked when we eventually, you know, found the carnage. And we'll get there. We're not quite there yet, but
carnage.
This chapter was, I guess, because what Marin was saying before, it felt like the pre-investigation was so short. Like, I definitely expected somebody to die in that hangar, but I did not expect it so soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really agree.
I almost feel like it's because we had the whole thing where you escape and you see the outside world, blah, blah, blah. Just going to pass over that like it was nothing. but Kokichi we'll says, yes, Kokichi says when we see that, he's like, the killing game's over. I'm the mastermind. No more death is going to happen. And it's almost like that is an accelerant. Like, it just,
right,
saying we're done with the killing game is like taboo. Just makes it happen even faster.
I feel like that is so true, though, actually, throughout all of Danganronpa. It's like, okay, no one else is going to kill each other, and then something else happens, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Nobody knocked on wood, so.
Oh, right, man. I know, it's true.
Wow. If only they had us there.
We'd tell them. We'd show them. And we do also get to see the outside of Rentaro's lab. We don't know what it is in there, right, but we
and
see it.
And it looks really morbid.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like his ultimate talent is going to be something like Maki's, honestly. Like,
right, if the cover dark is any indication of the inside. But we'll see. Who knows? It could just be, like, look scary on the outside, but then on the inside it'll be, like, ultimate puppy trainer.
Yeah.
You know? Knives on the door.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know.
Or you could be like, oh god, what else can you do with knives? You could be like the ultimate like vegetable chopper.
Right, sushi chef. Yeah. That's what I was like.
There's also a bat with nails on it. That's actually the newest way to chop an onion, is with a bat with nails.
With nails?
You just smash it. You gotta wear eye protection though.
Yeah, I'd be crying all over the place with that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So my next note is when they look at the outside. So if you have anything before that, go ahead.
Well, do we have that scene with Maki and Kaito and Shuichi in Maki's lab before that? Is that before that?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because Kaito gets kidnapped after that.
So cute. This is like Maki like helping Kaito build the like the crossbow. I've seen Buffy. I should know what a crossbow is. Come on, guys. Maki helping Kaito build the crossbow is very much like the role reversal of like the guy helping the girl play pool at the bar. You know what I mean? It was like very that vibe. And I just kept being like, oh my God, these two are so cute. And it's so canon. And it is literally canon. I kind of forgot if it was like so explicit, but it is very explicit.
Yeah, it is. Maki reveals her true feelings at the end of it.
Oh, it makes me so sad.
Just so sad.
Oh. But yeah, and then I also just like this moment of Maki calling Kaito and Shuichi high maintenance. I feel like a lot of like men love to say like, oh, these women are so high maintenance, but she's the one kind of wrangling these two like little emotional fuddy-duddies around, you know? So that was a sweet scene. It was just sort of like kind of, it's even sadder knowing what's to come. You know, I was like, oh God, I hate this so much because I know like what's happening next. And it was so sad. Anyway, but yes, now I'm ready to see the outside world.
Oh, the outside world. Or Marin, were you going to say something else about Maki and Kaito?
Not. R.I.P.
Okay. RIP. RIP.
I know,
beautiful
they're so cute. And they're so perfect for each other. It just, we never get to have anything good in this series. But anyway.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I don't know if our listeners could tell, but Marin is fresh off the Eras tour.
Yeah, we're at two songs already. How many will we have by the end?
Okay, yeah. So they get through the underground passage. finally, and they get to, this is the first killing game in this series where they get to open the big round door before it's all
the
over.
The end of the game.
Yep. And what they see is, I feel like, considering the trend of the reveal of the outside world in games 1 and 2, this shouldn't be like really that much of a surprise, right? Game 1, very similar situation. The whole world and society had collapsed and there was despair everywhere and like terrorism and whatever, and anarchy, and yeah. And then game 2, similar vibes with the people realizing they themselves had like caused a lot of that, grappling with what they themselves had done. And now game 3, again with like the ruins of the outside world being like, ta-da, outside world was not what you thought it was, you know. There's just more despair. And our theory about them being in space was not totally off the mark, but they're currently not in space anymore, and they are on the remnant of the burning dead Earth. I can't help but wonder if that's maybe like a little bit of a metaphor for like climate change, maybe just a little bit. And also, Danganronpa predicted COVID too.
Yeah, literally, what the heck? I remember playing it on stream with Marin for the first time, literally, it was like April 2020 that we did that. And we were like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
It was unnerving because this game came out in 2018, right? Or was it 2017?
2017.
Yeah, yeah. So 3 years later, at least we didn't have to deal with the meteorites in real life.
And now it's 6 years later.
Quote, at least we didn't have to deal with the meteorites.
So true. Listen, it really could have been worse.
Yeah.
That's just motivational.
So true. Oh, man.
And also, I think this virus, the implication is that this virus in this game is insanely deadly. I mean, there's the picture of like dead bodies littering the streets of like the city and like that stuff, with it's like very, very like apocalyptic level. Like, I think the implication is like it killed the majority of the population,
right? Which I have to say, Makoto was the one who came up with the plan to like put these people on the ship to like, mm-hmm. you know, save humanity. And I just, you know, Makoto now has seen 2 killing games where there have been 16 people involved. Would he not maybe think, oh, maybe I shouldn't put exactly 16 people on this thing so that perhaps another killing game doesn't happen? Like, what is the logic there? It's like, bestie, you have been through this so many times and you're not even pausing to think for 1 second that you put 16 ultimate students on the ship. What? Anyway,
he's a nostalgic guy. What can we say?
No, he's like, I see how we all bonded. They could be bonded like we were. Oh God, no. I'm just kidding, obviously.
Oh, but my goodness. Yeah, at least make it like 17.
Right.
Yeah.
15.
That's too many.
Well, way the first one was supposed to be 15. Well, sort of 15. And then it was Mukuro Ikusaba, the 16th student lying hidden somewhere inside the school. Watch out for her.
So true, girl.
Thank you.
That is so classic. When I talked to my co-host Emily for my other podcast about Danganronpa after she played it, she just said like, it was so good and obviously so thematically great. However, I cannot get over the amount of times things were repeated and I would just be like, oh my God, can we just like be done with this? And I was like, literally though.
Speaking of, we had to watch that Cress like 8 times.
So many times. Which was so terrible because it's so gory. It's like
terrible.
Like, it's like they're treating it like we're watching a grape being squished.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is a human person in there. We really did have to watch that. So, and the amount of times they would like play it up until the point where it would right before the stop and then play it again to the stop.
People who associate Kokichi with grapes are going to really love that you just described his death as a grape.
That's so true. I've totally forgot that's a thing.
Oh,
that's so awesome.
Unintentional.
Speaking of Kokichi, his moment, his villain monologue moment after the reveal of the outside world Also a bit unexpected because we've never had someone in a Danganronpa game just chapter five hop in and be like, yeah, I'm the mastermind. Hee which we later learn is not the case, but he really starts, he's really playing up the villain act,
I want to say, and Caroline watched me play this game, so you can call me on this if this is inaccurate, but I don't think I ever believed he was the mastermind.
Oh yeah.
He's just not the type of guy who would
Be
do
the
that. And
mastermind.
by, yeah,
Yeah. He's too
and not
obvious. Like
only
the whole
that, but
game, he's been way too
and he
suspicious.
wouldn't share it. Like, he would not be the type of mastermind to be like, ha-ha, I just decided that now I'm going to tell you
That
this. Like,
I'm the mastermind.
whoa.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
I just,
true. I will say at
yeah.
this point in the game, and actually multiple chapters before this point in the game, knew who the mastermind was.
Oh, yeah.
And I
Oh, yeah.
think, oh, you had it spoiled for you, didn't you?
No. No, she guessed it in
Oh
like
no,
the first
you're
10
right.
minutes.
You're right. You predicted it from like chapter three.
Yeah, and
You did. You
I
did.
remember telling Marin, I was like, it's not Kokichi, this is the answer to the mastermind question, is all I'll say, I guess. And she was like, no way. You know what I mean? Well, no, but you
No
were sort
way
of like,
about who it was. But I did not think it was Kokichi. I feel pretty
no.
strongly, yeah. Because it's like when Dwight in the office, they do that murder mystery, and he's like, it's never who you think most think it is, and it's never who you least think it is. But it's like, he's too obvious. Like, it's
Yeah.
way too obvious that it's, oh, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, no, I didn't believe Caroline's theory about who the mastermind was until I believe chapter. It might have been this chapter, actually, chapter five. I think that was it. Yeah, but no,
Yeah.
she was quick.
I can't remember when
Quick
she
wit
told
on
me
that
her
one.
theory, because I think I asked her to hold off on it because I knew that she was so good at predicting things. I didn't want it to be like a spoiler. I can't remember when she told me that, but
Caroline's predictions equal spoilers.
Caroline has a very good ability to do that. Yeah, I would say, like, in terms of like with the Dwight thing, like the most obvious suspicious person was absolutely Kokichi the whole time, and like the least one that you'd like least expect would have probably been like Gonta,
Oh, as the mastermind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, or even Shuichi, I feel like, is so, I don't know, not suspicious at this point, but maybe it's just that way because we like know him.
Yeah. And also, I don't think they
Don't
pull the whole like, oh, you are actually evil the whole time. You're the protagonist, blah, 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 like twice in one game.
that's true.
Or maybe they would.
Three times in one
I
game,
don't
four
know.
times in one game.
What if like every chapter the protagonist was different? Like every
And
single
every
time you were
time
the
they killed
killer.
them.
Oh my God, no, that would be too predictable.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
My favorite
Yeah.
quote from this entire chapter from Monokuma: if you say Danganronpa is your reason to live, I couldn't be happier. Definitely directed at the three of us.
Right. They said,
Right.
yeah, so anyway, yeah, no, that's true.
It was so pointed.
It was so pointed. It was like, hi, at the players of this game, you are silly gooses.
It's me.
Hi.
I'm the
The
problem.
problem
It's
is it's
me. That's
me.
three, everyone.
Yep, okay. We'll try to make as many references as we can. In this one
Yep.
episode, of course, naturally, naturally. Nice. And I do like the scene where we sneak in to see Kaito.
Oh,
And he's
pulling at my
like,
heartstrings.
when times are hard, you gotta rely on your friends. And it's so good. And again, I feel like every time we have like Kaito's death slash Kaede's death, both are like very impactful on Shuichi, and it's like their spirit lives on within him and slash like within the others, and it's very sweet. And that was so sad to watch. I was like, no.
Yeah, that
But
scene where
no.
they're talking through the bathroom window, I got so sad after that scene because I was so certain that that was the last time they were ever going to speak, because there were just like so many death flags like in that conversation coming from Kaito, that it was like Kaito's going to be dead tomorrow morning. Like there's
Kaito's going to be dead tomorrow morning.
I was like so upset, but then he wasn't. But then he was. So this chapter is an emotional roller coaster for me. I love Kaito so much. This is so hard. But anyway, Marin, I loved your reference in the Discord when you were streaming yourself playing this chapter, when you referenced 13 Sentinels.
Yes.
Because I, with the naked robot pilots, because I kept thinking, like, during the trial, I was like, because when he's, like, playing, when he's, like, pretending to be Kokichi during the trial, I know this is jumping forward, but it's just the reference he made, I kept thinking, like, Kokichi's in there naked. Like, they flushed his clothes down the toilet. And so at the point when I was assuming it was Kokichi in there, I was like, he's literally naked in there and piloting the robot with his nipples.
Oh my god. No, it's true. Yeah.
But oh no, gosh. Alas.
We do get confirmation, though, that Kaito has multiple of that jacket.
Yes.
So
yes. This is true.
At least two.
And I did feel like, because they both lost their clothes during the entire chapter, I guess, that we might have a situation of a classic I Don't Dance from High School Musical 2 on our hands. Yeah.
It does feel very I Don't Dance. Enemies to lovers, you know. Yeah.
I bet there's people out there who shipped those two.
Oh my god. Yes, Maddie, wait. Maddie said, I bet. I was like, yeah, it's a lot of people ship this.
You would win that bet.
Yes.
That's why I would bet it.
That's why I would
I know
bet
I'm
it.
Right.
Genius.
I mean, yeah.
Maddie is playing 1D checkers.
I'm playing like Connect 4.
Oh my god.
That's amazing.
I just have like a handful of scattered notes before the investigation.
Yeah,
actually I don't have that many left.
I don't have many either, so yeah, go ahead.
I think it's really awesome that Maki is the only one who never goes into depression mode after they learn about the outside world, and she is like unfazed, like out there doing stuff, planning an attack strategy, you know, planning on how to get Kaito back. And she goes and like rallies everyone while they're like in bed, like crying and sad. And I don't know, Maki's a little badass. I think, you know, she's probably been through a lot of seriously hard things in her life in the past, and so she's probably no stranger to adversity. But I do have mad respect for her for that, for like rallying everyone. She really is like a leader in this chapter. She really is, and I'm proud of her. Our girl.
She really is. Until the trial.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
but that kind of makes sense.
It's understandable. Go ahead, Marin. Yeah.
I almost feel like she is a representation of how beneficial it can be to have positive relationships in your life. You know, like throughout traumatizing time, like times like Kaito saying you need to have friends you can rely on, because you could make the argument that everyone's friends, but in reality, like, they're almost like trauma bonded friends where they haven't had a second to breathe and just connect, you know? Whereas like Shuichi has lost Kaito as a friend in this chapter. He starts off being really angry at him. And so when this news hits, his support system would theoretically be Maki, who, I mean, she's not very open in terms of like having deep conversations, and she's definitely closer to Kaito, I would say. And so I don't know, just the difference in reactions from someone who feels like she has people to connect with and talk to and work for with is kind of interesting.
It's true, but it also makes me think of how the two of them, their Kaito and Maki's personalities are so different that they both benefit Shuichi in different ways, right? Like,
yeah,
like that's why we have multiple friends. That's why, right. You know, yeah.
You guys have more than one friend?
No, my only friend is in the Zoom call. Maddie's like, is it
a massive boom of thunder happened right after you said
that. Oh, I wish I could have heard that. That would have been so funny on the call, like, that
for dramatic effect.
Right.
Yeah. She's like, I have one friend.
And you will fight to the death.
It's Thor, actually.
Thor's my god bestie. Of Ragnarok.
Mm. Yeah. I have one more note before we find the body.
The body? Well,
not really the body at all. It's like the mush.
Oh also, my god, don't say that.
I'm so sorry. the gore. Who is Kira? K-I-R-A. When Sumugi is
Death Note, dude. About
going to kill Kokichi. Oh, okay. Because Sumugi says, yeah, that's sort of the sort of thing the Remnants of Despair or Kira would do. And I've not seen Death Note.
Oh my god.
What?
Maddie.
I know, that's one Maddie. Of the ones I need to watch. I think that's gotta be my next one after Buffy.
Yeah. The fact you haven't seen that is actually shocking to me.
Yeah, like I am befuzzled.
Well, I figured if you had seen it, you would at least have one Death Note poster on your wall.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you're gonna love it.
You are, you are gonna eat it up. Eat it up. You're gonna gobble
just
it right
like
up.
Just like how Light eats that potato chip. Am I right, Death Note fans?
So true. So true, bestie.
I'm gonna take this potato chip.
And eat it! Maddie, you're gonna love it. It's great.
I only have one more note. Which is, they have the flashback Light when they're all feeling pretty down that tells them that they are Hope's Peak students, and immediately they feel more empowered. And I think it's an interesting look as well into how labels can empower or depower you. Like nothing changed about them as people. They were just given a label and that made all the difference. And yeah, I don't really have any commentary on that, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, I know that was a very interesting moment when that flashback Light was all it took for them to sort of be like, oh, we got this. I'm like, wait, hold on. But I guess it's sort of like seeing that you are humanity's last hope, sort of, in a way, then gives you that push to be like, okay, we'll do this for humanity, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I also think, like, there's something about Hope's Peak Academy that just like elevates them to
people
like
just,
superhero status.
They just
like,
love that place. They're so obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's like the pinnacle of society for some reason.
So obsessed with me.
They're like so obsessed with me. Oh, Hope's Peak Academy. JK. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it for this episode, I guess? Because then we're talking about the
That's
case.
All I got.
And then spoiler notes, which I don't have a whole lot. It's kind of hard to talk spoilers in this one just because chapter six is upon us.
Yeah.
Soon.
I don't have a ton either. I have some investigation notes, a couple of trial notes, and a couple of spoiler notes.
Okay. Then why don't
we
cover investigation and trial in the next one, just because I feel like they're so, like, yeah. We're going to move along into a bedwed behead before we wrap up today's episode. Today we are going to be choosing between Kaito, Kokichi, and Maki, because they're the, you know, the people involved in this whole shebang. They're the people who are in the hangar, so to speak.
The ones in the room where it happened.
The ones in the room where it happened, in fact, yes. That is so true.
This is a little bit of a toughie, because specifically between wedding either Kaito or Maki, because Kaito, I think, would be infuriating at times, and Maki, I think, would be infuriating at times. So, with that logic, but I believe that I would wed Maki, I would bed Kokichi, and I would behead Kaito.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I think Kaito and I are too similar. And also, I think he would infuriate me more, which we'll get into in part two. I do appreciate him more, but I have thoughts to share in part two. So come back in 2 weeks.
I know my answer.
Yeah, go ahead, Maddie. I'm kind of stumped.
I would wed Kaito. because I love him a lot. And I would probably bed Maki and behead Kokichi just because I can't see myself with Kokichi in any capacity at all.
Is that because he's mush now or
oh!
No? Too soon?
He's a
Too
bunch soon. Of mush grapes. I'm so sorry.
R.I.P.
Rip. I think I would behead. Oh God, I don't know. Oh man, I would behead Kokichi. I think that's tough though between him and Kaito. It's hard for the betting situation. I'm not quite. I don't know who to pick for that. So I think I would bet Kaito, just because at least it would be an affirming and positive experience. You know what I mean? So that is fine, I guess. And then I
Wait a
would
minute.
Hold on. I'm just kidding. And then I think I would wed Maki. Yeah, she's pretty. She's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very everybody, nice. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ultra Hope Girls Danganronpa podcast. We are so glad you're here. Tune in 2 weeks for our analysis on this case. It is wild in here. It's a little wild in here. And we have a lot to say, so definitely make sure you tune in for that. If you'd like to hear more Danganronpa content and just Ultra Hope Girls content, follow us on Patreon. The lowest tier is just $2 a month, and you get access to a bunch of cool bonus episodes that we've done over the 3 years, can you believe, that we've been doing this podcast. And yeah, we're on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We're Ultra Hope Girls Podcast pretty much everywhere. And if you have a question for us and want to leave us a voicemail, the link is in the episode description. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.